Another week, another Koshcast. Coming up on this episode, Watford spank Manchester United, whose squad is starting to look like a luxury yacht, hideously expensive and all at sea. Liverpool take a page out of Tayyip Erdogan's book by establishing control through the press. Arsenal, City, West Brom and Crystal Palace all go a bit Brian Lara and knock their opponents for four. And Spurs show that they've still got some fire in Dembele as they batter Sunderland 1-0. Elsewhere, we've got news from around Europe as Cavani looks less Mbakani and more Slimani with a four-goal haul in Ligue 1. The big three win in Spain, and Inter win a game in the Derby d'Italia where Juve put in a performance so flaccid that it might as well have been the Derby d'Italia telly. All this, plus Toronto FC make the playoffs, Santi Quizzola tests our knowledge, and Moom of the Week tests our patience. Buckle up. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. My name is Alex and I'm here with Mohamed and Roche. Mohamed, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, man. Like, I mean, I haven't been here for what, two or three out of the last six episodes? I feel like
I barely recognized you.
Yeah.
Roche, did you recognize Mohamed when you walked in?
Slightly. He was a bit of a stranger coming into the building.
You didn't buzz him in from the start.
Oh, well, don't even get me started.
To be fair, I did buzz him in at just the wrong door.
Anyway, that's why the pod is delayed by a day. Roche, how are you?
I am great.
Yeah?
I had a bit of a playoff beard going on.
You did, that's true. Oh yeah, you guys had a playoff for Under the Kosh
for
FC.
Under the Kosh.
Yeah, I mean, not much to talk about. We lost, what, 5-0?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad semi-final loss, and hence the clean-shaven look today.
Yeah, it was right. A step up from Div 2 last year to Div 1, and it really showed.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry about the loss.
It's okay.
Still, though, not a bad semi-final cameo, and finishing second in the league.
Yeah,
but what
it's not the only football we played, though, this week.
Yeah, I also played on the Open Sports app.
Oh, yeah.
I had some pickup soccer this weekend, and it went pretty well.
So you just can't get enough, man. Semi-final one day, pick up the next.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, with the weather still kind of nice outside, even though it's like mid-September, you got to make the most of it. So.
I downloaded the app recently. I didn't have it as of last week. And it's actually quite... I mean, I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
But I used to complain about, like, I don't know when people are going to be at the field, especially...
Right,
let's say,
before you would just show up and hope, right?
Yeah.
And now you can actually plan the game or join someone else's that you know will actually take place.
Yeah,
fantastic.
No,
it makes things very easy. That's
it
for
does.
Sure.
You know what isn't easy, though?
What?
The quiz.
All right, so this week's quiz is called Santi Quizzola.
Hey.
Get in. Not bad. All right, it's not going to be as short as him. So
obviously.
Buckle up. There are four questions. Here we go. First one. Who was the last Welsh-speaking player to captain a side at the old Wembley Stadium?
That was
Alex.
Easy.
John Toshack.
Wrong. Roche?
Gary Speed.
Wrong. Here are the options. Giggs. Gabidon. Batistuta Martinez.
That was easy.
Giggs. Nope. Alex.
Gabidon.
Nope.
What?
That was
easy. Should I press it?
Oh my god.
Martinez?
Nope.
Batistuta.
Well done.
What the hell?
He's Welsh speaking.
Yeah.
He comes from a Welsh colony of Argentina.
I did not know that.
I know, that's why I picked it. I was like, what?
That is a great question.
I appreciate that.
Question learning with the Koshka.
Yeah. Wow. I never knew Batistuta spoke Welsh. Anyways, question number two. From which club did Real Madrid sign Brazilian Marcelo? A. Vasco da Gama. B. Fluminense. C. Corinthians. D. Flamengo.
That was easy.
Richey.
OC.
Corinthians.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with C.
Wrong. Alex.
Vasco.
Wrong. Richey.
What were the options?
Fluminense or Flamengo?
It's a 50-50, just shoot.
Flamengo.
Wrong!
I'll take Fluminense.
Alex gets 2 points for both questions with the last option. Well done.
Patience is a virtue.
Question number three. After the Italian match fixing scandal and Juventus' relegation, how many points were AC Milan deducted? 4, 6, 8, 10. Roche.
That was easy.
Correct. Well done.
Ooh,
nice. All right.
Got him.
Roche knows his Calciopoli.
Yeah, that's one for Roche.
It's
for Alex.
It's because it's a number.
Roche, you need to tie this. Last
yes.
question. Legendary manager Bobby Robson signed Diego Ronaldo for Barcelona. Which club did he sign him from?
Alex,
PSV.
Well done.
3-1. Oh. All
right.
I was about to get that wrong anyway. I was going to say Inter Milan.
No, there wasn't even an option.
Got your chronology wrong.
All right. Well done, guys.
Well done, Alex.
All right. Let's dive straight into the Premier League.
Dive
Ashley Young into the Premier League. As much as Bernie is finding it hard to get any points in these weekly quizzes, his team isn't doing that well.
Yeah, they're finding it equally hard.
Yeah, that's 3 losses in the trot, 2 of them in the league, the latest one against Watford, 3-1.
Yeah, not a week to be a United player, manager, or fan, really.
Yeah.
In any way associated with Manchester United.
I mean, they just lacked so much creativity moving forward. I mean, I know Mourinho's teams have that rigid system, but it's Watford. Like, they looked out of ideas.
I mean, one thing that's worrying from this is that United just don't look in position. I think that the loss to Man City actually dented a lot of their confidence.
Right.
And you can see that, you know, the man marking is off. There's a lot of space for players at the top of the box, and Watford actually scored 2 goals from those positions.
Well, yeah. I mean, who should have occupied that space? I mean, is it Fellaini?
I just hard to say, but I mean, you're right in that the positioning seems off, but it's also to do with, and a lot of managers will say football is about the running, and there's a stat going around today that United have run the least in the league. The whole league, which is surprising for, you know, one of Mourinho's things is you work hard, right? And he wants players that track back and what have you. But if you don't put in the running, you're not going to be there, for example, to track back and stop the guy who's got the free shot on the edge of the box. I mean, if you freeze the frames. You sent us these images today. You freeze the frames and Rooney's like struggling to run back into position.
Yeah.
And maybe that's who's supposed to be.
Well, I mean, when you freeze the frame, you can't really see anything past Rooney on the frame.
the most worrying thing about the frames is that at the top of the box, where there's so many players around, but at the top of the box, you draw a 30-yard circle around Capoue and the guy who scored the first goal.
Yeah. I don't know.
It slips my mind right now. But yeah, the marking is off. And it's also shocking to see, I mean, if you think about it, who's really running on the United team? It's definitely not Wayne Rooney.
Right, I know. Fellaini isn't really a runner. I mean, look, people are saying, why did he shift the formation from the first 3 games? Started to get you good results. Now, I mean, Rashford's into the team now. Is that shifting, why did that happen? Is it post against City loss? I don't know.
There's probably a lot of pressure to play Rashford.
That's true.
It's hard to fit everyone in the team. I guess it's a betting in procedure. I can't really put my mind on it.
It is hard to fit all the players in the team. If you really want to play them all, but it being a post City loss, I don't understand. So he won the first 3 games and then he changed the lineup for City.
Yeah,
and it didn't work.
Yes, he did.
Now
you
would have thought the obvious thing would be to go back to the lineup then that won you the first 3 games, but he's still straying from it and he's still playing players out of position, and it's very strange. It's just very strange.
Yeah, so this is just a few stats here. This is Watford's first win over United in 30 years. This is Jose Mourinho's first 3 competitive losses in a row since 2006, and he now has 14 losses in his last 32 games. That's for Mourinho
every other.
Yeah. That's 50%.
That's bonkers.
And you know, we've spoken on the pod before about Mourinho's siege mentality. When he comes into a club and it's us versus them, the dressing room is behind Mourinho. Whereas now, every post-match statement that he's making is, oh, the players are at fault. You know, they're not coping. Yeah.
Well, what was the Luke Shaw thing?
Luke Shaw thing that two of Watford goals came on his side, where the guy was running down and then crossed it into the 2 players that had the 30 yards of space around them.
Yeah.
So he blamed them a little bit for the lack of covering and the lack of stopping the crosses coming in. But I think Mourinho needs to start realizing that throwing players under the bus isn't going to work.
Is he realizing that? Because he seems to.
No, I think he should, because it's not going to work. And it didn't work with Chelsea last season. I mean, he got a lot of them the first season.
Yeah.
And then the second season, he started doing it early on and it backfired. But funny enough, I think the point that where that horrible run started is with the Eva Caniero.
Oh, yeah. Nothing has been the same since.
How can such a moment literally have such a huge effect?
Yeah, that was the first game of the season.
It was. And it's crazy. And because you'd think, I mean, whatever you think about Jose Mourinho, and I hate the bastard, but whatever you think about him, he's a very clever person.
Well, we know what you think.
Yeah, right. Like, his IQ is probably very high. This is not an idiot we're talking about. And when he saw what happened at Chelsea, and part of me still thinks he kind of engineered the situation to get out of there, to get the United job. But when he saw the effect that had on players, throwing them under the bus constantly, to not learn from that is, so, again, I'll use the word again, is bizarre. Like, it's just so strange.
I agree, but we should also look at Watford here. Yeah. I mean, Capu has been excellent. Oh. I can't believe the amount of fantasy points he's getting to.
Absolutely.
Like,
He's the highest midfielder.
He's not known for his goal scoring. Definitely not known for his goal scoring. And he's banging them in every game. It's crazy. Like, how can you go from barely scoring a goal to scoring four or whatever consecutively?
Well, you go on a run, and that's how it happens, really.
Well, as opposed to United, who don't go on runs.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about Lukaku not scoring in 13 games. He gets a hat trick.
Right, yeah, but he's a striker. Yeah. I think Capu has been a defensive midfielder for most of his life. But
sure, good point.
I don't know whether this is the reason, but tactically, Mazzarri switched to three central midfielders, which gives Capu more.
Leeway, right.
Last season he was playing in a 4-4-2, which means you've got to be a bit more careful.
Before we move on here, just wanted to say, Rochet, you showed us a great stat about how United literally are running the least in the whole league so far.
Yes, yes,
actually last place.
Yes, behind Sunderland. So I think that the team that's done the most is Liverpool with 581 kilometers.
Of course. Their manager has run more than the whole of United's squad.
But if you actually do watch a Liverpool game, they look like they're all over the place. They're buzzing with energy. Yeah.
I mean, we can move on to that since you brought it up.
Yeah, let's do it.
They beat Chelsea 2-1 away from home. Incredibly impressive result.
Oh.
Liverpool looked at points unstoppable. The same way they looked against Arsenal first day of the season.
Yeah.
The only thing now with Liverpool is do it over 90 minutes. Don't have those lapses of concentration where you allow teams to come in, because they did it with Chelsea as well a little bit, and that's when Chelsea got their goal. But if Liverpool and Klopp specifically can get them playing at that pace for 90 minutes, or at least teach them how to hold on to a lead better, they could be a huge force this season.
Yeah. I've seen Liverpool teams in the past, you know, 6 or 7 seasons when they have been up there in the top three. They have been on fire offensively, but defensively terrible.
That's the problem,
right? I've spoken about this the last couple of weeks, and the signing of Matip has made a very big difference. He's better than any centre back they've had in a long time. But when you talk about can they keep it up for 90 minutes, I think it's a really interesting point, because the pace at which they play and the energy that they exert. I mean, against Chelsea, they blew them off the park.
Yeah,
every time Chelsea had the ball, it looked like Liverpool had more players on the pitch because they did more running. That's what we were talking about earlier. They run more, so there's more of them in every area of the pitch. But you're right, you can't keep up for 90 minutes necessarily. So can Klopp, as you say, teach them to sit back and defend for 15 minutes when things aren't going their well? Because they're a momentum team.
But why would he now try to teach them to sit back when it's going so well offensively for them?
No, but you got to learn at moments in the games. Like, you go 2-0 up, the other team, especially if it's a good opposition, they're going to come at you. If Liverpool can weather that storm for 10-15 minutes, they can become a complete team, is what we're saying. I mean, you're not going to be attacking for 90 minutes. You're going to go on these momentum bursts, as Alex will refer to them, and you will get your 1, your 2, your 3, the same way against Arsenal. They were, 4-1 up against Arsenal, game ended 4-3. That's not good enough.
No, I agree. But I think, like, you know, what's working right now for Liverpool is that they're so good offensively, I almost wouldn't want to change the system, because they're going to outscore anyone.
Right, I mean, Wijnaldum in the center is a beast. Lallana ran 13 kilometers a day.
He's a new man this season.
For a small kind of looking guy, he runs a lot. They didn't have Firmino for this too, he's been their best player all season.
Yeah.
He had a niggling injury, didn't play. Coutinho came in, did just as well.
Yeah.
And keep in mind that Klopp is playing a formation where he has to drop one of the quote-unquote big guys. Coutinho, Firmino, Sturridge, one of them, like, he doesn't play all three.
Because Mane plays.
Because Mane plays fantastically, and Lallana will not get dropped right now.
No.
So, you know, he put Coutinho on the bench last game. It's big calls he's making.
Quick shout-out also putting James Milner at left-back was a bit of a move of desperation because Moreno is so terrible. But Milner, I think, has actually done really well so far.
He played... I was talking to someone recently, a Liverpool fan. He's like... Who's? I was telling him how Henderson. I don't like him a lot, but credit to his goal. His goal was probably goal of the week. It was fantastic.
That was great.
When you have Courtois barely reaching and he's like on his line basically, that's impressive.
Yeah. Do you know Courtois playing BFG in the movie?
Oh yeah, nice. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a little side role there.
Yeah.
So Henderson for me isn't the best player in the world, obviously, but I don't think he's captain material either. And we were talking about who's captain material in Liverpool, and I thought Milner is captain material. I think he's good enough to be captain. He works hard for the team. He'll do whatever it takes for the team. He doesn't care where he plays. He's never going to you know, complain.
Yeah.
He's boring Milner, as we all know, that Twitter account.
But I think that's in itself exactly why he's not captain. Because I think Henderson, he's younger. Mm. He's younger. He's got that enthusiasm to play, and that's exactly how Liverpool play.
Right.
Also, it's a bit tricky captaining from left back, though.
Yeah,
but, true. But what happened with Chelsea? I mean, the first goal was a header at the back post.
Right.
No marking.
Lovren. And it was unbelievable. I mean, all the Chelsea players were in the kind of were at the near
the front
post,
yeah.
And all the Liverpool players were at the far post. It was so strange.
It was weird. Like, you see all the blue on one end and all the red on one end.
It was like a heat map.
They were just lining up there.
Segregation all over. It's crazy. But the one thing that stood out for me is that Kante and Matic.
Mm.
I think they're both too defensive and they're both not good enough at moving the ball forward.
Agreed.
That it really hinders Chelsea. I mean, Fabregas, Kante doesn't like him. He's fat. He doesn't run a lot. Fine. But neither does Matic. But whatever. But Matic, he doesn't need to. He just sits there, does his thing. But Kante is very good at what he does. But when you want to attack, when you're 2-0 down, he's not going to be helpful.
Right.
And I feel that that holds him back a little bit. If they had, you know, an informed Fabregas in there next to, let's say, Kante, I think that works way better.
But here's the thing. When Fabregas comes off the bench, he invariably changes the game.
Yep.
They always look better with him on the pitch. And again, like you, I understand why he's not an ideal Conte player because of the lack of energy. But as you said, Matic has the same lack of energy but isn't as good on the ball. So what are you gaining from having Matic on the pitch at the moment?
It's very interesting you say a lack of energy with Chelsea, because that's exactly what Antonio Conte is supposed to do to this team.
Yeah.
Give them energy to play. And we know that stat about the running and Liverpool being one. Chelsea are somewhere in the bottom tier of that.
The problem
as well
is, you gotta have the players. I mean, Conte can yell and scream all he wants. If Matic can't run, he can't run. If Fabregas can't run, he can't run. Like, you gotta also have the right players. And he got Kante, which is exactly a Conte player. But the others around him, I mean, Kante came out recently and actually said, I can't do all the running. My teammates need to run a bit more. I can't run for myself and for them. And, you know, I think he feels a bit frustrated. He's buzzing around the field and no one else is. Like,
well, he shouldn't have left Champions League bound Leicester City.
Anyways, I mean, Costa scored here. And we have to say Costa has been in great form.
Yes, he has.
I don't like him very much, obviously, for obvious reasons. But when he's on form, he gets you the goals. And, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Chelsea did a better job in the second half to come back into the game.
They did.
Put on some pressure. But ultimately, not enough.
Any particular reason? So two or three times this season, Conte has brought on Michy Batshuayi in the last like 10-15 minutes and turned the game round.
Right.
And he didn't go for it this time.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Surprised me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe he felt he would get overrun by Liverpool. I don't know.
Yeah, that already happened.
So. Yeah, sure.
Saw it.
Moving on, we've got Hull 1, Arsenal 4.
Easy.
Finally, an easy win for Arsenal without too much trouble. So, again, Alexis starting up front.
Yeah.
No Lucas, no Giroud.
Yeah.
Arsene Wenger really wants to do this. And I think it's because it brings the best out of those around him in terms of Iwobi and Walcott. I think having Lucas hinders them a bit and Alexis kind of brings them into play a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, you have said before, Mohamed, that, you know, you don't like the lone striker. Giroud's not doing well enough up front. But now with Alexis up front, there's almost a little more, what's it called, flexibility, fluidity in the attack. And you can see that. 4 goals.
But it does get frustrating when you see Alexis so deep. He's almost standing next to Ozil at times. And it's like, well, who's in the box there? I mean, Monreal and Bellerin get the ball. And, you know, you shift your vision from them to the box
and
when you're
no
watching
one.
The TV. And you're like, he's not going to cross it. There's no way, right?
Yeah, I think we saw the difference. So against PSG, Arsenal did the same lone striker system, but Walcott wasn't playing. And Walcott is the kind of guy that when he plays on the right will make runs into the centre forward position.
Yeah.
So the difference was in this game, Alexis came deep and what have you and vacated
no
that
one,
space,
no one replaced
but
him.
Someone ran into that gap as we saw with Walcott's goal. Whereas against PSG, that just didn't happen.
Yeah, if Ox is playing, he'll never make that run
no.
And you'll literally get a huge vacuum because everyone wants the ball deep, right?
Exactly. And so, like, the lineup came out and a lot of Arsenal fans, at least on Twitter, were quite upset that Alexis was up front again. But I just have to say, like, the best two Arsenal performances of this season have come with Alexis up front.
Watford and the...
And you have to take the opposition into account, but still.
I mean, he did score 2 goals, kind of.
Sort of.
Yeah, and he did miss a penalty. Penalty stats for Arsenal are horrendous. They've missed 3 of their last 6 in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Ozil and Sanchez are yet to score a penalty for Arsenal.
Do you know
and
how many?
Taken 4.
Do you know how many they've missed this season alone?
2?
2 or 3.
But, you know, there's an interesting stat about penalties. When you have a lot of penalties coming to you, it means that the game is flowing in your favor. You're creating a lot of chances.
Arsenal already got awarded more penalties than I think all of last season.
Oh, yeah.
Because it shows that, you know, I was talking about this last year, saying, well, Arsenal don't get a lot of penalties. What does that mean from the big picture, is what Richey is alluding to? And it means that you're not dribbling in the box. You're not in there all the time. You're tippy-tapping around on the outside.
Yeah,
so you're not getting any...
That's
not,
mostly what Arsenal
That's basically
do,
what happens. Anyways, what else? Livermore. He got sent off, which made, obviously... I mean, that was an advantage from the penalty, even though it wasn't scored. And yeah, it will be... Isn't getting a lot of attention
from
other, you know, outside of the club, outside of Arsenal supporters, which is weird, because, you know, you get the Rashford and the Iheanacho ones, and I think it will be deserved just as much praise. He's played fantastically well.
You know, you're going to have a lot of games this season. Wenger knows that, because every time February comes around, it turns for Arsenal. But you know what? Arsenal fans were also upset about Xhaka being on the bench. He came on, he scored an absolute bazooka of a goal.
You know, he came on and he made more passes than Pogba has all of the game against City.
Yeah, well, if you're not running...
Pogba alone!
Yeah, we didn't talk about... I can't believe we didn't mention Pogba.
Good, everyone else will do it. Forget about it.
But I shouldn't defend him. I should not.
But Xhaka, you're right, that strike, he was like, you know what, here we go.
What I loved about that so much was that Arsenal have not had someone that can score a goal like that for such a long time. Yeah. I mean, maybe you could say Podolski, but he never did.
Sanchez went for a few last season, which he got, like, in the...
But
Hull,
not from even that far.
Like, against Hull was pretty good in the FA Cup final.
Oh, the FA Cup final, yeah. But edge of the box, like...
So you guys are purring over this goal. Yeah, yes. I got it. It was a good goal.
It's a new signing, 35 mil. What are you going to do?
Him to do this every week?
No, but people are asking for him to play. Chelsea next week. I highly doubt Coughlin's getting dropped for Chelsea.
That's a big game next week.
Someone's going to run against Conte. Like, someone's going to do it. So it's going to be Coughlin.
Well, how do you think this game's going to be then? Arsenal-Chelsea. Chelsea coming from a loss.
Chelsea always beat Arsenal, but that's because of Mourinho. So now, I don't know.
The only time Chelsea didn't beat Arsenal, or Arsenal... The only time Arsenal beat Chelsea, I'll rephrase, was when they were managed by Andre Villas-Boas. So, I'm not confident still.
And the Community Shield counts against Mourinho.
Yeah, but his breakdown had started, the meltdown. Yeah.
Someone who isn't having a meltdown is Pep Guardiola. And I just love... Look, I don't care for City personally. I don't care for Pep Guardiola on a personal level either. I don't care. I'm not a fan, right? But
you're
I'm not a friend. I'm not an acquaintance. I don't have his phone number. But the idea is that I love watching people who said, oh, he's going to struggle. He's only a good coach because... He was at Barca and Bayern, which are clearly the best teams in the league. He's had Messi, blah, blah, blah. He is a brilliant coach / manager. He is unbelievably good at what he does.
Yeah, but he got handed Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, I know. Because Mourinho decided that he wasn't good enough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can make the argument that he has inherited all these great teams, great players. But at the same time, he's got them clicking. If you look at Man City, right now he's got 8 games played, 8 wins, 25 goals
Never
scored.
Never happened. It's a club record.
4 goals scored against. Mm-hmm. That's the best record he's had of all the clubs he's been at.
Clicking doesn't even begin to cover how smoothly City have played.
Half against United?
It's like I've run out of superlatives and we're 8 games into the season. It's unbelievable.
And you think City were already very good. He's came in, he's dropped Yaya Touré, you're too fat, you're not playing. Can you imagine what would have happened to Rooney? If he had gone to United,
it would have been music to my ears.
Yeah, I know. And then Sterling is playing well again. Nolito looks like a brilliant signing.
Yes.
I mean, nothing too crazy in terms of his stature in football. I mean, he's just a random dude.
Except for the straight red card towards the end of the game.
Right, he seems to be a bit hot-headed.
What I will say about that is every team needs a dickhead, and he might be City's dickhead.
He might be. Fernandinho is playing unbelievably well.
Yep. But,
you know, I don't know what to say. Iheanacho. Aguero's out for 3 games. Any other team would have been, oh my god, Aguero's out. At this point, not a big deal. Iheanacho comes in, he's always in the right place at the right time. That counter-attack goal was phenomenal.
Yeah,
it was. But I think their best player has been Kevin De Bruyne in the last 2-3 games.
He's the best player in the league right now, hands down. Yep. He's unbelievable.
He also did this last year, Alex, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, not quite to this level. Well, you know what? To be fair, he was playing at this level and then he got injured.
And then when he came back, they automatically stepped up like a few levels again.
Yeah.
Like the first game he came back and scored a goal. Like, he's a really good player. And Mourinho is an absolute idiot. Like,
he really is. I mean, we will look at this, if we don't already, as one of the greatest underestimations
of a player
of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, to sell Kevin De Bruyne, I mean...
Yeah,
we couldn't have predicted at the time. Obviously, this is hindsight.
No, but he came, he had a lot of hype around him. It was, you know, it wasn't something that, oh, who's this guy? We don't know anything about him. It was like you guys got a really good player. Well done. Now do something.
It's
in some ways it could have been good for Kevin De Bruyne because you know mentality is a big factor. Yeah. Him going to Wolfsburg and rediscovering his form, coming back to the Premier League to prove a point could have been
And he ended up being managed by Pep, which couldn't be bettered.
Pep,
so.
Speaking of Pep, he had a comical moment this week. Alex, you want to run us through that?
Oh yeah. So was it? I think he was in a press conference and one of the journalists said. Basically asked him whether City could do the quadruple, and his response was,
"What the fuck?"
Yeah,
and he rubbed his bald head. He's like, he took a second. And he went, "Like, he couldn't think of any other way to answer." Yeah. And then he said, "City have never or once only been to a Champions League semi-final.
Yeah, once.
And now you want four trophies? Like, are you insane?"
Probably the best response he could have possibly given.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
The irony, of course, is he might do it.
Yeah, of course, and he wants to do it. Yeah, but like,
would he get fined for this?
For winning the quadruple?
No, probably. He was wearing in his press conference.
I mean, if I... Well, you mean like the FA?
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
I think they could.
Could they?
If they wanted to, I'm sure they could have.
You see, the funny thing is, like, fining Guardiola for bringing the game into disrepute is really funny. Because it's like, I'm going to fine you for improving football to the nth degree. Anyway.
Interesting to observe, though.
Yeah.
Leicester beat Burnley 3-0. Leicester started off quite... struggling a little bit, and then they improved slowly. They won the first Champions League game, their debut, fantastic performance, and then now they beat Burnley 3-0. Burnley, who I will say every week is going to get relegated.
Yeah, they will.
Slimani,
two 3-0 wins back to back.
Yep,
it's a good week.
Clean sheets, and Slimani on his home debut getting two goals.
Absolutely, two headed goals, no doubt. But one thing that's good for Leicester is that they've bounced back from this loss to Liverpool last week. 4-1, they got absolutely manhandled by Liverpool.
They did.
But 3-0 away, the Club Bruges in the Champions League, good start. 3-0 at home. They're not going to win the league this year, but good start. Good momentum for them.
I mean, you were saying, Alex, you have something written down here saying how Slimani gives them an aerial threat that maybe Vardy, Okazaki, and Musa don't get. I mean, definitely not.
Yeah, definitely not Musa, right? Yeah.
And Musa's been basically dropped at this point. I mean, dropped is big because maybe he wasn't in the plans to start with, like, to start. But we thought when we saw him against the Barca friendly, we thought, okay, he's going to start, and he did start a few games.
Yeah, he's one of those where you kind of look at it now and you wonder what exactly the plan was for him. Whether he was maybe they bought him in case Vardy left. Maybe they thought they might switch the formation. I'm not sure, but Ranieri doesn't seem to quite know how to use him yet.
Right.
But Slimani, on the other hand, comes in. They play 4-4-2. It suits him perfectly. He's a target man. You've got a quick striker in Vardy who can make the runs. And, like, Ujoa can head the ball, but he's never getting in the team.
Right.
And Okazaki's too short, and Vardy doesn't head the ball, really.
And
the best part about Slimani's game is that he's gelling with Mahrez. I mean, if you wanted Mahrez to stay on this team, you bought Slimani. That makes him feel right at home.
We'll just get you an Algerian.
Yeah, more Algerians. The last thing about this game is the Leicester are playing United at Old Trafford next week. Great time for Leicester to play United, but it's always a game-per-game thing, but... You never know. Leicester could go there and give Mourinho a fourth loss in a row. That would be incredible at home.
If I'm Leicester, I'm pretty confident going into this game because they've just got the tools to hurt United. But just on the Algerian thing, first time since 2002-03 that any Premier League club has had two Algerians at the same time. It was Manchester City and it was some other bloke and Ali Benabia.
I think it was Belmadi.
Belmadi?
But he never played.
Yeah. See, this is why we keep an Egyptian around.
Yes, he knows. He knows
the North African agenda. Well, back to London. Spurs beat Sunderland 1-0. This one was... I have a soft spot for Sunderland.
Why?
Yes, why is a good question.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with Moyes. It's just that these heroic... They keep coming out of these relegation battles. And I like Defoe. Like, I feel he's underrated, not because, you know, people don't think he's good, it's just he makes do with such a bad midfield behind him that I feel almost sorry for him.
I want
him to do well.
I would be very careful with my love for Jermaine Defoe.
Agreed.
And that's because he starts every season, he starts so well, and then he just completely fades.
Well, it's also a team thing, right? I watched the game, and... All I could notice was Sunderland didn't make a single proper forward pass to him.
No.
Every pass was way off. Like, he'd start running, look up, and it was like at the keeper. It was at Lloris. It was useless.
I have a problem with what Moyes did here. Obviously, Tottenham are a much better team than Sunderland. Obviously, they were at home and they were going to have way more of the ball and the chances and what have you. But there was zero ambition. Moyes came, to defend, and that's it. He was, you know, if they got a point, it would have been through luck.
Pickford in goal was
Pickford was fantastic. I mean, yeah. this genuinely could have been 8-0. But
yeah.
He made some brilliant saves, and Tottenham's finishing wasn't fantastic.
I have to say, David Moyes, really not known for his attacking prowess. At this point, he's just been, you know, defense.
Like, neither are Sunderland.
Yeah. Sure, but like, you don't finish fourth with Everton in the league without having some decent attacking play and knowing how to score goals.
Took him 10 years to get to fourth.
I mean, to be fair,
he took over a team that was going to get relegated, though.
Yeah.
Same situation.
Look, as much as Spurs did create a lot of chances, and Sunderland could have, like you said, could have gone away with it, because the only goal they scored was a horrible defensive mistake. He let it run across his body when he could have easily just cleared it up. And, you know, flashbacks to our UTC game when we lost 5-0. That's exactly how we conceded every single goal. But Spurs grind it out. And that's a good quality to have. Without Eriksen,
they did this last season.
Dembele was instrumental. He's so important to how they play.
I forget what the stat is, but essentially, when he plays, they win.
Yeah, Walker is this season the best right back in the league. He's looked fantastic.
I agree.
Yeah,
it's weird. He used to be the guy that ran the ball out of the field.
Yeah, now he's like a big attacking threat for them. Moses Sissoko started with Son on either side.
Yeah,
weird wingers. Like, I mean, to win a game with Son on the wing and Sissoko on the wing is an achievement.
Yeah, it's more their energy and their speed and their kind of aggressiveness than that. Those are the kind of naturals in those positions. Sissoko was very good at. There were a number of times that Walker would get the ball, knock it down the line, and Sissoko would just pick it up and hold on to it and turn. And he has that Dembele thing where he's really hard to knock off the ball.
Hot off the press as well is Kane is out for 2 months. So he's missing.
Is that confirmed?
Yeah,
2 months.
That's confirmed with the ankle injury he picked up. So that you saw the replay.
It was horrible. It was disgusting.
So that's going to change how Tottenham are going to play then.
Yeah, I mean, Janssen is probably going to come in, or they might play some false nine with Son. I don't know.
Yeah, either is possible.
He's going to miss the North London Derby.
I really want Dele Alli step up.
I mean, he needs to step up because so far it's been a one season wonder.
He's still, what, 19, 20?
Yeah.
Okay.
He just signed a 6-year deal today, actually.
Yeah? Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, let's see what else we got here.
Turning the page.
It's a lot of pages.
Yeah.
Why do I have... Oh, okay, this is where it starts to tail off a bit. I was like, none of these teams are, you know...
Any good.
Yeah. West Brom beat West Ham 4-2.
A game of the week.
I'm sorry, yes. When West Brom score 4, everyone needs to pack up and go home. It's over. You know, get in your shelters, open your canned food.
They haven't scored 4 goals in the Premier League since 2014.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound that long ago, but there's a lot of football matches in between. Yeah. And it was against Burnley, so...
To be fair, we were criticising Tony Pulis for the last couple of weeks leading into this game. And now they've scored 4.
But that's because he's leaving. That's because the Chinese guys are coming in and they're going to replace him.
Yes.
Still a Tony Pulis result, though, to be fair.
Nasser Chadli, though, home debut, 2 goals, 2 assists.
West Brom fans, I kid you not, on Twitter, are already proclaiming him their best ever player. Like, it's not... I'm not kidding you. It's been 2 games. They have made polls where he is their best ever player.
But they've had Robbie Earnshaw.
Oh, he was a legend. Wow. So what's going on with West Ham?
I really don't know. I mean, last season they were one of the best, most improved teams in the league. Bilic had them defending properly, attacking vibrantly, and they're still scoring goals. I mean, Michael Antonio is still scoring goals.
I know exactly what happened.
Oh,
ever since Dimitri Payet broke the league with that Rabona assist.
So ever since last week.
Ever since last, they were up 2-0 at that point.
Yeah.
And they just collapsed, four goals straight. They lost 4-2 this week again.
So that's the assist. No more Rabona.
Can I give you an insight which is completely irrelevant, but...
Oh, please.
the new Olympic Stadium, or whatever it's called, the London Stadium.
Yeah.
You know how there's a distance between the field and the stands? I'm serious when I say this. Our UTC league, we have three fields. Two of them have the stands / the outside like parking lot really close to the field, and one of them has a huge gap until there's a running track around it.
What is one of them, the fucking stadium?
Yeah, one of them has a track for like field events.
Okay?
And I kid you not, when I play in there, I feel way less comfortable because the field looks different. The dimensions feel like weirder.
I think the worst part about playing on a field like that is when the ball goes out for a throw and you're a goal behind
and you have to run again.
You have to go in the bushes.
Yes, but I don't think West Ham have that problem.
No.
I'm seriously thinking it's a bit different when things are like further away, you know?
Yeah, maybe that's Roma's problem. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So 2 goals, 2 assists. Fantastic for Chadli there. We talked about him. Chinese
good
ownership.
3 points, but really, they're finishing mid-table. It doesn't really matter if they get 3 points now or whatever.
I was thinking about how Bilic can go from the savior of London to getting sacked a month into the season.
I mean, it hasn't happened.
No. As in the possibility.
That is football for you.
That is the Premier League.
That's exactly how Nasser Chadli is the best player of all time for West Brom.
Yeah.
That's exactly the same concept.
But it's more like what we were talking about with Mourinho. Just like one day, everything's great and you've won the league. The next day, you're abusing your physio and you can't manage a team anymore.
True.
It's bizarre.
And then you're abusing your left back.
Yeah. I mean, just as weird as West Brom scoring 4, Palace scored 4. So I don't know what's going on this week.
I think we're getting sunspots. It's changing the magnetic field.
You know what I love about this, though, is that Pardew spends 30 million on Benteke. They score 4 goals and he doesn't get any of them.
Just the
centre backs who have scored.
Just his presence. Stoke, though, are having quite a bad season.
1 point they've got.
Yep.
No wins.
That's two games in a row they've conceded 4. Like West Ham.
They've conceded 4 goals 3 times already this season.
Oh dear.
Townsend with his right foot. That was a great finish. I did not expect him to put that there.
He had the best game I've ever seen him have.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not that hard, but...
No. But did you see what Pardew in the post-match? He was like, yeah, Andros was outstanding today. I really hope Big Sam was watching. I was like, 2 things.
Come on.
That's one.
It's crossed the line.
Doesn't matter. He's not getting in a team. Yeah. 2, you're calling the England manager Big Sam? Like, we get to do that, all right? Call him Sam.
Can I just take you guys back a little bit? Just relax. I want to take you back to the moment in time when Townsend was England's savior. To be like he came on, scored a few nice goals, and it was like, this is it.
Yep.
We got a player to change the game. I hate that, you know, about
what?
England.
You know what? So was Aaron Lennon. So was Theo Walcott.
So was
So was Kieran Dyer.
Yeah. Bentley was one.
David Bentley as well. Yeah. Alex seems to have an argument with this.
No, I'm really glad you said David Bentley, because I'm like, is it a thing with mixed race white right wingers?
Yeah, that's Chamberlain. True. Yeah. Well, he's never.
Or is he Kieran Gibbs?
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
So what? You said the game plan needs to be at a better level.
Yeah. That's your job, mate.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I don't know. Does he want me to do something about it? Okay. Moving on. We've got 2 more games. Everton beat Middlesbrough 3-1.
Standard
rule. Alex has Borough written here. I don't think I'm that close to them. I don't know them that well. So I'm going to call them Middlesbrough. That's okay. Middlesbrough went 1-1 when Negredo literally headed the keeper's arm into the goal. And then I got off my seat. I started cheering because I have him in my fantasy team. Okay. And the replay started showing that he didn't even get close to the ball. I got really depressed.
Was it officially an own goal?
Yes. Yeah, the keeper basically threw it into the goal because he headed his...
It was like something from the 1930s.
It should have been a foul, really.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Yeah, I mean... Yeah,
I'm surprised he didn't get a concussion. At all other times, he would have dived and, you know, pretended to be knocked out.
Maybe he should have. He'll learn from that. But yeah, after that, Everton just strolled. I mean, this was a really boring game.
Right.
We watched the whole thing.
It was horrible.
It was a massive waste of time. But yes. Gareth Barry scored a good goal.
Seamus 600 Coleman. Appearances for him as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Okay,
as many yellow cards.
I'm not going to go crazy about Barry like I did during the game, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Mane loves Gareth
Seamus
Barry.
Love him. Absolutely.
He did
love
score
him.
A good goal, as you were saying.
Yeah, Seamus Coleman, you compared it to Messi. You
I was like, case. I never knew Messi played right back for Everton. That was insane. He cut it through like 2-3 players, put it where Messi exactly would have put it with his left foot.
Wow.
I was like, wow, I'm seeing doubles.
And then Lukaku scored the worst goal he'll ever score.
Yes.
I'm pretty convinced he didn't even touch the ball. I'm not sure how this was attributed to him.
Yeah. I don't think he did either.
He just fell over in the box.
I looked at it so many times and I still couldn't tell whether he touched the ball or not. Anyways, so Gareth Barry has 600 appearances, which is more than like 4 or 5 teams in the Premier League in total, like Hull and stuff.
Well,
like
right.
That. Yeah, which is Burnley. It's incredible. Okay. Anyways, last game. Again, he's got Sutton right in here. I'm not, you know, I'm going to call him Southampton.
That's okay.
Southampton beat Swansea 1-0. Swansea are having not a bad season, actually, but this was a very tight game till the end. And then, I love this note, Sutton missed 100 chances.
They had so many chances. My God.
And Charlie Austin.
Yeah.
Back
in
the fold.
I kind of forget about him.
Oh, yeah.
And then he scores a goal once in a while, and then you remember him, and he's a bit fat, but...
Yeah.
Yeah,
he looks quite chubby.
Yeah.
Anyways, before we move on to Mumu of the Week, I've got a few stats for you here, the leaders of this week, which I thought was quite interesting. Most shots is Mikel Antonio, who's having a great season, regardless of West Ham's form. Mesut Ozil, the most passes.
Obviously.
Payet, the most key passes. I don't know how he lost his game. Most interceptions, Masuaku.
Oh, the West Ham
left back.
West Ham again, yeah.
Yeah. We got to stop here and talk about this a little bit. Most tackles, Idrissa Gueye.
He's having a brilliant season.
He's having a better season than Conte. He's the new Conte this year.
Wow.
I mean, he is. He's killing him in interceptions. 29 interceptions or whatever.
It's working so far. We're 5 games in.
It is, sure. But whatever. He's also new to the league.
He's also contributing to your boy Gareth Barry's new lease of life.
That's also true. He makes the running. Sterling has the most dribbles. Sure. Which, you know,
not surprising.
Back to life. Alvaro Negredo, most area duels won, including the one with the keeper.
Yeah.
Michael Keane, most clearances, obviously because Bernie are all
Michael
the
Keane.
Oh,
Michael
Keane, sorry.
My name is Michael Keane, and I am going to clear the ball out of the area.
Very nice. Well,
typical. Yeah, that's what he was taught his whole life. Yeah. Just to hack that ball out.
And most saves is obviously Pickford. We talked about that.
Yeah, did that happen all in the last game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, this is just the weekly thing.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, you know what else is a weekly thing?
Right.
Move of the week.
Abby Momo. One thing we are no sha, Momo no fit sleep forever. One day, Momo go wake up.
Welcome to Momo of the Week this week. I will be starting you guys off. We're going to go to Chile.
Okay.
The lower reaches of the Chilean league. And a third division game between Transandino and Deportes Melipilla.
It's a good thing Roche follows the Chilean third division.
Yeah.
Every day I got the radio on.
That's what Under the Cosh brings you.
Yeah. So there's a paragraph in this article that says, strangely, okay, so the goalkeeper was angry because a dog had run onto the field and made a save.
Of course. as they do in the Chilean third league.
Absolute miracle.
What do you mean?
Okay.
So this is an excerpt from an article. Strangely, the dissension is actually between the aforementioned dog and Transandino keeper Fabian Cerda, who has since taken umbrage at his canine companion receiving undue plaudits for making a save when the shot in question wasn't actually on target.
Undue plaudits?
Yes. So this is a goalkeeper speaking. He says, "It was going so wide I left it on purpose." He grumbles to the local press. "Now people are saying the dog saved the goal. The dog did this. The dog did that. It bothers me."
Wow. He feels that he might lose his spot to his dog. That's basically what's happening.
Yes.
Roche, that is a brilliant moment.
This is, in some ways, the most famous he will ever be.
Where is the article?
Where is the article?
Where is the source?
Oh, the source. ESPN FC.
Oh, actually. Man.
Chris Wright. The toe poke.
Nice. Lovely stuff. All right. Mine's also an article, actually. I think I'm just going to read the whole thing. So I heard about this on Football Weekly, admittedly, but it deserves a mention. So Sunderland, the article starts, "Sunderland's digital presence is continuing to grow on all fronts." The club's digital... This is on the official website.
Official.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The club's digital reach, including social, grew by more than 2/3 over the course of last season. The progress builds on the 2015 Facebook Club Performance of the Year Award for the biggest percentage increase on the platform amongst Premier League clubs. Digital organisation Results Sport ranked the club 8th in average percentage social growth in Europe across their tracked categories, and it lists a bunch of social media platforms. The club also launched a new website back in June and broadcast all 6 of their pre-season games live, completely free of charge. Content produced on pre-season, including behind-the-scenes coverage, was watched in more than 160 countries and territories around the world, which I find hard to believe.
Yeah,
quite.
There's like 173 countries.
When you sign up for the package deal and you get the channels you don't want?
Yes.
That's exactly it.
Commercial director Gary Hutchison said, "Digital is of vital strategic importance for modern football clubs."
Is it Harry Redknapp?
"We are continually focused on achieving excellence in our digital activities and have plenty of exciting plans in the works." I just like, as a Sunderland fan, if I'm reading this, I'm just getting angry. I'm like, we've got 150 Facebook followers. We've got Ginny Bodgy at the back making criminal defensive errors.
Yeah, like I read this as a fan on the website. What am I supposed to do with this information?
Hate my life.
Yeah, that's actually quite true. Mine is quite short, really. Harry Kane, not last game, but the game before, came up with this gem on radio. He said, and I quote, "We need to be better in both thirds of the pitch." This is why he's not allowed to run around with scissors.
That's amazing.
I wonder what the final third has to say about that.
I mean, yeah.
Are they included?
Both of the final third.
I guess they must be.
I'm sure.
Right, here we go. This segment, according to Alex on the agenda here, is called A Smattering of European Games.
Yeah.
Which I think is going to be adequate.
Yeah, it's accurate.
Great. All right.
Yes.
PSG beat Cayenne 6-0.
Say that again.
Cayenne.
Cayenne pepper.
Ken? Hey, this isn't the film festival town, is it?
Yes.
Oh, it's spelled differently.
Cans. Cons.
Oh, Khan.
I should take this moment to say, by the way, if you haven't been on underthekoshblog.com recently, why? But also...
what are you doing with your life?
Yeah, yeah, Colin Crawford, who's someone that is writing for us at the moment and doing an absolutely brilliant job of profiling every Ligue 1 club, Caen being one of them, which is what reminded me of it. Go and read his articles. They're just
even
amazing.
If you're not interested in the French league, which admittedly a lot of people aren't, it's just brilliant reading.
Yeah, like half of it's history, culture, football kind of comes into it, but it's amazing stuff. So majestic. Go read.
Yep. Anyway. So the biggest troll of the weekend is Cavani, who scored 4 after his horrendous display against Arsenal, where he was Arsenal's best player, to be fair.
He was. Yeah.
After Ospina. Yeah. Rumor has it that Ospina is still saving shots from Cavani as we speak. He scored 4 in the first half.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean...
I think they needed that.
I'm not even going to say Caen are bad, because like Arsenal conceded that many chances to Cavani as well. Yeah. His pace and his movement are brilliant, but where did the finishing come from?
Yeah.
And where did it go? And where did it come back?
I mean, I think people will tell you it's there, it's just he doesn't show it enough. Like, we know it's there from the Napoli days.
Yeah.
People, this is my problem. I never rated Cavani as high as some people do. And people are like, I can't wait for Ibra to leave so he can come out of his shadow. Not going to happen.
Well, he just scored 4 goals.
Over a season, he's not going
to
do it.
Maybe we've been highly critical of him. Maybe he just had really easy chances this time. Who knows? But he scored 4 goals.
Maybe he missed an open goal.
And he's put all his critics in the bag. For a week.
Yes. Yeah. Moving on to La Liga. Atleti beat Sporting 5-0.
Was this the donkey show of the week?
It was. It was the donkey comic. Yeah,
they got donkey kicked.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Atleti were fantastic.
Yeah, and Sporting Gijón were absolute ass in this game.
El burro. See, this is what he gets from covering the Chilean league. He picks up the Spanish.
Atleti rolled him up and ate them like a burrito.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Quite.
They wrapped the game up.
this is good.
Gijón folded.
No, well done.
Anyway, for the second week in a row, Koke and Saul were played in central midfield, where they do their best work. And Griezmann and... what's the other bloke?
Gamero.
This game was full of amazing finishes.
Yes, it was. Which is funny, because last week on the podcast, Roche said, I don't know what it is about the camera angle at Atleti games, but their finishes never look like beautiful goals.
All of his strikers scored this game.
They heard me. Cavani heard us.
Yeah. It's all you. It's literally all you.
Yeah. I think it is, yeah.
But the thing is, at the start of the season, the Gamero-Griezmann thing wasn't really working out. And it looked like... And then Torres came in and they tried different stuff.
They all scored.
But they all scored. And those two little French explosive strikers now seem to be finding an understanding, which could work out really well for the France national team.
If they're scoring goals like that all week, I mean, or all season...
Yeah.
One
of the benefits of listening to this pod is you get the in-the-know information. And I've got some.
Go on.
Simeone has cut his contract short with Atleti till 2018 instead of 2020, at which he will be taking over Arsenal.
Are you sure he's not taking over West Ham?
He's taking over Inter Milan, lads.
Is he?
He loves
the club.
He already said he wants to manage there. Frank de Boer's not going to last that long.
Okay, we will get to Inter Milan actually, but
yeah,
they've been doing quite well. But anyways. So he's not coming to Arsenal?
No.
Okay. Thanks, man.
100%.
Okay. Sticking to La Liga. Real Madrid have won 16 games in a row. This is a huge question. I don't expect you to answer right now in full. But is Zidane a genius or is he lucky?
What? You said don't answer.
Oh, right. Yeah. Answer a little bit.
I'm just following instructions here. Okay. I think Zidane just looks good. He just handled his responsibilities. I think the players like him.
Yeah, that's true. And he's... He's managing his squad really well as well. He rested a lot of players after the Champions League. He played James, Isco, and they delivered James with a great goal.
Yeah, James, I mean, it was kind of nice to see him score after, his terrible season last season and the summer of speculation about him leaving. But what I liked was the front three. You got Asensio one side, Vasquez the other, Benzema returning in the middle. He scored a nice goal.
Benzema's run to free himself for that goal was nothing, and I mean this, nothing short of world class.
He's a fantastic striker.
He ran into the box, and then when he saw the chance before everyone else on the field, he pushed the defender, got in front of him, and it was the perfect fit. I mean, obviously Vasquez with a great ball, but I watched the replay so many times just to see when he sees the opportunity compared to everyone else. Like, actually replayed it 6 times. Right. And you see it in his eyes when he puts his hand on the shoulder. He sees it a good couple of seconds before everyone else.
That's because both his eyes are crystal balls.
Yeah. And they record as well.
Foretell the future.
Yeah.
They're like TiVo.
He didn't foretell the lawsuit, did he?
Anyway. I mean, Alex here says Real 2 Espanyol, and then he has no score. I guess they got beaten.
No. Yeah. Sorry.
No, Bale and Ronaldo, obviously. We mentioned that. Okay.
Did you know, fun fact, Bale, Benzema, and Ronaldo scored 300 goals in 3 seasons.
So how many is that a season? I can't do math.
Yeah, it's 303. That's incredible, actually.
Are you suggesting that they're quite good at football?
Yeah, I think that's what he's getting
at. That is outrageous.
He doesn't want to say it just so he doesn't get caught out.
I better to bust out the quill and parchment for this one.
Yeah. Leganes lost to Barcelona 5-1. Barcelona, I mean, it's so annoying to watch. They are literally competing on how they can give each other goals on a silver platter.
Yes.
Suarez did it for Messi, and then right after, Messi had literally what is a one-on-one and decided to, again, Suarez just had to tap it in. Same with Messi. They're just giving each other goals at this point.
I felt like I was watching one replay of the same goal.
Yep, just over and over again. Yeah. Just like a mirror image.
Exactly.
Well, they've got 12 goals in the last 2 games as they reacted
Neymar,
to
Neymar, the game before was insane.
Yeah, but you know what? When you say that, it reminds me of watching Arsenal in the Invincibles era, where they would be 3 or 4-0 up by half time, and then the second half they just start dicking around and giving it to other people. Even Francis Jeffers got a goal because, you know, Pires would decide.
Francis Jeffers, that's a good way to, you know, get quiz material for next week.
Yeah.
Is the answer going to be Francis Jeffers?
Who is Francis Jeffers?
I think it might be hard to get a question where the answer is Francis Jeffers.
Who didn't score a goal that time?
Francis Jeffers.
Correct.
Who missed the goal that easy time? Jorginho.
That was easy.
Barcelona, I mean, what are you going to say? They're just really good. Bilbao beat Valencia. Deriz, 2 goals.
Valencia suck.
Bottom of the table.
They're bottom. They don't have a win.
Very good, yeah.
Man, they've lost the last 7 games in the league from the end of last season to the beginning.
It wasn't just Gary Neville.
They should be crying for Gary Neville to come back.
I mean, well...
Is Phil still there?
No.
Oh, okay.
Of course not.
Okay.
But you know the other funny thing about this? You know who Adaris beasted when he scored his 2 goals?
No.
Mangala.
Oh, yeah. He went there. He was Mumu a few
Mangala
weeks back.
Mangled. Mangled.
Yeah, anyways. Napoli go top by beating Bologna 3-1. Oh, by the way, we moved to Syria.
Right.
I realized. We did say it's a smattering of
European.
It's
a smattering.
Napoli beat Bologna 3-1. Bologna just weren't hungry enough in the game.
Well, we got to talk about Arkadiusz Milik's form, because he's come in and replaced Higuain, and he's done a flawless job at it.
Yes.
So far, I mean, it's only a few games, but yes.
Sure, 5 games, he'll be scoring every week. Scored all their goals, almost.
True,
practically.
True. He's been great for them.
And he's doing it without taking up as much of the club's food budget, so...
Yeah, true. Napoli are doing this thing which Atleti were famous for, that roundabout of strikers, and they're starting to go up there, because the Cavani, the Higuain, the now Milik, like, they're getting there. They're starting to get that reputation, so...
Yeah. Expect an article soon.
Yeah, it is quite interesting to compare that with what Atleti were doing.
I'm going to hold you to that, Rishi.
Yeah, quite. Yeah.
Fiorentina beat Roma.
Obviously.
Alex's beef with Roma is that basically every time Juve lose, Roma also lose, which doesn't help anybody.
It's like towards the end of last season, Juve dropped a few points and Roma could have got back in it, but they just obviously also lost that week. And they've continued to do it here. They dominated the game against Fiorentina. They had a number of chances. Dzeko obviously missing some.
Yeah, obviously.
And
Nyangland, horrendous game.
Yeah, not great. And then they concede a goal, obviously, because Chesney's also rubbish.
Did he come out running to the halfway line?
No. Like, to be honest, it was a good goal by Fiorentina, but I think it was Badelj. But
anyway,
I don't understand why he's still in goal.
But you know what? More importantly, Juve lost this week.
Yeah.
Khedira didn't score.
You didn't let me. I was gonna flip the page.
I'm sorry, that's a yellow card for me.
Yes. Can I flip the page dramatically?
Oh, I thought you were gonna book me.
Ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, here we go. Inter beat Juve 2-1. Rishang, how do you know?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so Inter, it's just as baffling as Inter beating Juve 2-1.
Really.
Icardi has a stat where he has been involved in every single Inter goal this season.
Obviously.
Every single one.
Because they have...
No.
Yeah, ever since they put that 110 million euro price tag on
him. You love that, eh?
I'm surprised by it, to be honest.
He was fantastic in this game. And frankly, Inter were better than I've seen them in a long time. I mean, this is still... Let's remember, De Boer was still under pressure. Like, he only just took over. And they've been so bad that he was still under pressure. And this alleviates it somewhat, because this is the Derby d'Italia. This is a massive rivalry. And Inter bossed the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not often that they actually beat Juventus or get a result against them.
It's not anyone ever beat Juventus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But all the goals in this game came late in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yuka's goal was against the run of play.
Yuka's goal was against the run of play, and Inter winning, I think the crowd was like electric.
I mean, we know that feeling from our Roma game. I mean, it was definitely the best atmosphere in all the European countries we visited.
For sure.
Yeah.
And this is a huge game, and we were watching Torino versus Roma. I mean, this is Inter versus Juve, so you can you know, double it and imagine, right?
Yeah, of course.
Joe Hart kept a clean sheet for Torino. He speaks Italian now, by the way.
Yeah, you know what? I was quite impressed. I was reading it, but I was quite impressed.
Because there's not a lot of English players out there that, you know, get the chance to do that, because no one ever goes there.
Exactly.
I guess he hasn't made that many friends if he's learning all this Italian.
Why? If anything, he's trying to make more friends.
Yeah. Someone to practice with.
Maybe he was studying Italian.
He's going to come back and try and impress Pep with a little bit of Italian.
Pep's like wrong language. Yeah. I have a quick question for you, Lazza. If you could send any other English player to a different league, a foreign league, who would it be and where?
I would send Wayne Rooney to Eibar.
Just specifically?
Yeah, because it's Eibar.
Not bad. Who's the most like Neanderthal guy who's like, Vardy! Vardy. Because he doesn't like to assimilate, probably hates foreigners.
Yeah.
I'd send him to Italy, where he'd get some humbling.
He'd fit in.
I don't know.
With like the Lazio Ultras or something.
He does, but I think if they pick on him, a bit of humbling, come back, start loving Mars a bit more, Slimani. I mean, to be fair, he is playing with Ahmed Musa, Islam Slimani, and Riyad Mahrez. Life is tough.
Yeah,
life
for him. I'd send Andy Carroll to Japan just for the height difference.
Maybe he runs faster now for the through ball with them behind him.
All right, I hope you like that that little music. That's we've labeled that general interlude, which I think serves a purpose.
Just so we can use it as often as we like.
whenever.
Yeah.
I'm going to use it when I walk out the door, just like exit music.
It's like a theme song. You should have a boombox going as you walk down the street with that.
Or if you join like WWE or SmackDown, that could be your entrance music.
With my figure, I'm not sure it's happening.
I mean, it's rigged.
Rishay might.
No,
Harambe might.
Oh, yes.
Okay. We're going to use it today to get to Toronto FC, who have, except they haven't, clinched their spot in the playoffs in MLS. So they drew.
Please explain.
Yeah, okay. So they drew 3-3 with New York Red Bulls on the weekend. It was actually a really good game. They went 3-1 down at one point, clawed it back to 3-3. Altidore scored 2 goals. One was a fantastic free kick.
Yeah, it was.
Why is he taking free kicks?
Because Giovinco's not there.
That's right. Yes, Giovinco's not there, so who else is going to take it?
Yeah, but you'd think there's other people in the pecking order.
Who?
Before, like,
Michael Bradley.
Your big oaf up top.
Yeah, you call him that, but he's killing it.
Oh, sure.
A good thing about this game is both the New York teams and Toronto are competing for the top spot.
Yes.
And so this 3-3 draw coming from behind signifies that Toronto FC are ready maybe not to throw it away this year.
Well, it also...
I'm sorry, just when he said the two New York teams and Toronto, I was going to go east side. Then it was the Eastern Conference, it had to be...
By default.
Yeah. Glad you didn't say that.
Thank God you didn't bring that up.
Yeah.
I've lost my train of thought.
You were saying that thing about that thing.
They're both challenging for the first place.
Yeah. So New York Red Bulls were 2 points behind. So had they beaten TFC here, which they nearly did, they would have gone top. TFC, as it is, maintained their 2-point lead. But
TFC would have leapfrogged New York if they had beaten them.
No, TFC are on top.
They were already top.
Oh, TFC were 2 points ahead. Yeah. So New York would have leapfrogged.
I think your math is as good as I read maps.
I just want to say leapfrog.
All right, one more time?
No.
Okay. And I should also mention New York Rebels, Bradley Wright Phillips.
Yeah.
He got a new record because he scored 20 goals in more than one season in MLS.
That puts things in perspective.
But it's
also good for him.
Yeah.
I remember that season where he was on fire. Was it last or the one before? I think it was the one before.
It's been a couple, yeah.
I think 2 seasons ago he was absolutely on fire.
He's up there, yeah.
Yeah, he's been doing well. I mean, but for TFC, we were talking about how, you know, did they make the playoffs? Did they not make the playoffs? And you're saying as long as they get one more point in whatever, they'll be fine. But I think the ambition is more than just, you know,
absolutely.
Make the playoffs at this point. You want to finish up top. You want to get an easy first round and then make it as far as you can.
I fully agree with that thesis. I think that, you know, Toronto FC last season with Giovinco in his first season overachieved to get to the playoffs.
Yes.
But then threw it away in the playoff qualifier.
Oh,
but this season... Being number
they
one for this long,
either,
consistent.
And without Giovinco for the last few weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, they've shown that they can compete without him, which is huge.
Yeah, yeah. It has been, yeah.
But MLS, we could have put MLS into Mumu of the Week because they tweeted after the game that Toronto FC had clinched the playoff spot.
To be fair, I was under the impression that all you need is a draw to clinch the playoffs.
Me too, but it turns out mathematically, if they were to lose all seven of their last remaining games and a whole bunch of other things happen, it's still mathematically possible that they don't make it.
So I'm not the only one bad at math.
It's like 0.123%.
I think there's a lot of tweets about how with TFC's history, the fans are like, don't rule it out, this happening to us.
Absolutely,
get a point. But obviously, like we said, the goal is to finish in the top three, if not second or first even. And New York City FC are doing really well. Lampard is absolutely dominating right now.
Which is weird, because he started off so bad.
He did, and now he has like a horrendous amount of goals. I mean, horrendous in a good way.
Right.
Vieira must have a hand in this.
Well, listen, like...
Or a foot.
Or a foot. Yeah. But no foreign manager has ever won the MLS Cup. And they tend to do really badly in MLS. So for Vieira to come in and in his first season? Second, I think.
Yeah. Second, because they started, didn't they join the league last year?
I think they did.
No, they had 1 year.
Yeah.
No, so it's his first season.
Oh, yeah.
New York's second season, his first season.
Sorry.
To do this well is actually very, very impressive, even though he has some quality at his disposal.
Yeah.
Nonetheless.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah.
Anyway, so that pretty much wraps it up. We have just broken the hour mark.
Oh, time to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Get out.
Or that. So, or leave.
Rashid's kicking us out.
Us or them?
Us. I hope he wouldn't be that rude to our listeners.
That's true.
No, I was just saying that, I don't mean it.
That is the least genuine apology ever.
Right, well, Kosh, sleep over then. Sod it.
Oh, okay, wait. All right.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.